जयं शुपाल ब्रह्मं सपरिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमान् अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी हरशील प्रभुपाद की जयं तिलीला प्रविष्टं शुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशतश्री श्रीमान् भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती हरशील प्रभुपाद की आनंदकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रीहरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्याम गुंड राधा कुंडगिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमः ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिन इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम धीनम मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह ग्रहीतांगम मामुद्धर भवार्णव श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योयम् प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयम् सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यम् दासोऽहम् तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परं जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्मयादिदरदः सर्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वराट्टेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरय तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितकैदवोत्रपरमो निर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्रमस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वरैः सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यदेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभित्तक्षणा निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबत भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमः यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैपायनो विरहगादरमजुहवम् पुत्रेति तन्मैदयतरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिल श्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमतिथितीर्षदां तमोन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनाम् नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननिन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भदां मुरारेर्मधुरीं नः कनिकापि कापि कापि नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवाद पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे श्रीमल गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वंदे नंदव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टशा यासां हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्द प्रमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वातालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസതാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, Krishna is talking to Arjuna about the what happens, yoga brashtam state happens to somebody. That means after advancing in one life, he has reached a state but did not perfect himself in the yoga state. In such a situation, what will happen to him? That was Arjuna's question, wasn't it? So, answer to that, Krishna says, That is what we were discussing. That prapya punyakritam lokan usitva shashvati samaha shuchinam shrimadam gehe yoga brashto bijayate. That there is a possibility, Krishna says, he will come back. He will come back and take birth in the family of yogis or in circumstances where there is a possibility of going back. Perfection is possible. That means those who have not completed in one lifetime, in that particular lifetime, there is a possibility of them coming back. But we have to understand that when Krishna is saying this, he is making very clear that it is not a very common thing to happen in that way. That shuchinam shrimadam gehe yoga brashto bijayate. Yoga brashto means one who has fallen from the path of yogam. One has fallen from the path of yogam. We discussed about this because they have to come and take birth in such families who are very advanced in spiritual life. Only then it is possible, isn't it? They are yoga brashtas, no doubt. But although they are yoga brashtas, the family where they take birth also must be advanced in the path of yogam to suit their position. So such situations are very, very rare. Those who are in that state. So therefore Krishna is saying there that the the prapya punyakritam lokan ushitva shashvati samaha, that he may spend a lot of time in the heavenly planets enjoying his pious activities. The chances are that he'll come back and take birth in a family where advanced devotees or advanced jnanis or realized souls have born. And they will also won't stay in that family for a long time. Very soon they'll leave the family. That you can see. That's why we're saying that perfect example of the saints in Maharashtra. We talked about that, isn't it? Nivrtinath, Jnaneshwar, and Sopanadev and Muktabai. Four great personalities. All of them very advanced in spiritual life. For them to take birth, the father had to give up sannyas and come back to family life again in order that they could be accommodated. So such adjustments becomes necessary in that situation. That is why, and all four of them were realized souls in their life and they were born in that family of the yogis. In many instances, you will also notice that some souls who have come to this world with such a powerful backing from behind from previous life, as soon as they spend a few years in their family environment, they leave home straight away. They leave home and move away to an ashramam or to another holy places somewhere where they will execute their yoga practices further. Because sufficient renunciation and detachment from material world develops in such a short time in them, purely because of the because of the austerities and the spiritual activities they have performed in their previous life. And that you can notice quite often. In many cases it happens that way. They leave home and straight away they start from where they have stopped in previous life. So this is what Krishna is saying in that verse. So there you can see the connection with the past life. In their life, if you observe, you will see the connection from the past life. Unlike the normal people, unlike the normal people, you will see them straight away. They have a very high advanced state of renunciation, advanced state of knowledge, and completely fixed. And that didn't happen in this lifetime. It has come from the previous life. And that has followed them. It followed them. And due to, for them to appear in this world, they have to take birth in some family, which will be generally in advanced state, and after that they leave home and go for perfection in their spiritual life. And that is, and this is the connection with the previous life. It's the connection with the previous life. And that's what Krishna tells in the next verse. 42. Athava yoginam eva. Kule bhavati dhimatam etaddhi durlabhataram loke janma yadidrisham athava yoginam eva kule bhavati dhimatam etaddhi durlabhataram loke janma yadidrisham अथवा योगिनाम एव कुले भवति धीमताम एतद्धि दुर्लभतरम लोके जन्म यदीदृशम. So again Krishna is mentioning there that important point. He takes his birth in a family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom, but verily such a birth is rare in this world. That's the point. Such a birth is very rare in this world. In other words, we can't trust that this will happen if we don't make it in this lifetime. Because sometimes we may make up this idea that why not? Anyway, I'm going to get the next birth in a good family where I'll continue from where I have stopped here. So just to avoid that misunderstanding, Krishna says that's a very rare thing to happen. Then either you make it in this life or you come back again and start the whole cycle once again. So that's the clear warning there. So, athava yoginam eva. So, this yoga brashta, one who has fallen in that state, in order that to happen, how does that happen? It happens this way. There has to have a connection with the intelligence of the person with the previous life. Some intelligence has to connect with the previous life and the intelligence of this life. Intelligence of this life has to be connected with the previous life. So the knowledge that has been acquired in the previous life must be linked to the intelligence in this life. Because what happens is that knowledge that has been acquired in the previous life immediately comes up in the intelligence in this life. Immediately comes up in the intelligence in this life. Because it will link of the realizations or the knowledge that has been acquired in the previous life, the intelligence will be linked with that. Intelligence will be linked to that by the super soul, by Krishna's arrangement. It happens. Krishna, this is all Krishna does inside, sitting each one of us. What's the previous life, previous track record, what it is. And accordingly, everything has to be organized here, isn't it? So Krishna does that by sitting inside the heart. He links our intelligence with that life in the past life, with the past life. So, so as soon as that connection happens, that is when he leaves home. You see, up to that time, many people, if you observe carefully, you will see this. Up to a certain stage, they are like any other children. They grow up. But suddenly one day, that link happens with the previous birth. In the intelligence. When that happens, the person has changed completely. He leaves home. He leaves home and then he doesn't look back again anymore. There's so many cases like this. This has happened. So many. And that is the point, you can say that. When that happens, you can say that it is from the previous life. Why it has not happened in our previous life is also very clear. Isn't it? It hasn't happened. That's why after reading all Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam so many years and months, we are held up in the family life. Isn't it? So this is that difference. The power, that decision making, what Krishna says, it doesn't happen very easily. It's only because of this, that in the previous life, the person has gone so far, that although he comes and takes birth in another family, in a few years' time, suddenly one day, it clicks with the previous life, in intelligence it happens, Krishna does that, and immediately he disconnects with this world. His connection with the world is over. So, best example, Valmiki. Remember Valmiki's life, what happened? Valmiki was a dacoit, wasn't he? Ratnagara was his name in this previous life. There are so many people like that. Valmiki's case, what happened? Ratnagara was a dacoit. Sri Narada Maharshi meet him. And Narada Maharshi spoke to him. Immediately he remembered his previous life prior to being a dacoit. That was, he was a boy who served in an ashram, and a small offense he committed there, he has to come like this, cursed by his own preceptor, and then he got recovered straight away. Didn't stay very long in that body. He got released quickly by Sri Narada Maharaj. That's all Krishna's arrangement. Krishna sent him to talk to Valmiki, and Valmiki went back to his, remember that connection with the life before that, how that dacoit body happened to him, all this memory came back to him. Basically what Krishna does is that the previous memory comes back to you. You get the old memory back. Once you get that old memory back, then naturally you, all that cultivate knowledge that has been cultivated, the devotion that has been cultivated, that will compel the devotee to turn towards the spiritual life again, back to spiritual life again. Basically, it's just like a switching off from one to another. But that switching off is the most difficult thing also. So that's why Krishna says here, yada cheta, he says here, isn't it, that the loke kuladi bhavadi kule bhavadi dhimadam edaddi durlabhataram yadadeja tatho bhuyam. Then, so many cases, they are putting their lot of efforts in that, and then, once that comes back, they put a lot of effort. That enthusiasm to continue in spiritual life comes back at that point, back to them again. Sam siddhau gurunandana, Krishna says there, sam siddhau gurunandana. What does that mean? Sam siddhi means perfection, to realize the self and to knowledge of the soul. To complete or complete experience of the soul. So normally, normally our body, gross body, die when it has performed its function in this world, isn't it? According to the Prarabdha Karmam, whatever time the body is meant to live in this world, what Krishna calls it is Jirnada. Jirnada means it starts deterioration and then eventually it dies. Isn't it? So that's how normally it happens. But sometimes you can see some body, little young boys themselves, their body also perishes early. Some reason happens, the body perishes very early. Because they have come only because there are some prarabdham left in their previous life. Some prarabdham was following them. Therefore, it happened. They had to accept that for a short period of time. A body, and live in that body for 8 years, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, and they had to go. They have to go. So this taking birth and accepting another body, there is a lot of subtle reasons behind it, which we are not aware of, isn't it? That is what Vedas are interested in telling us. We are not conscious of those things. We will lament when a child dies. We think, oh, why did that happen to my child? Or why did this happen, that happen? We lament about it, not knowing that the child has only meant to live in that body over a certain period of time due to some reason that it had to come and go. It had to come and go. Completely controlled by the laws of karma, prarabdha karma as it is called. So prarabdham decide. Sri Narada Maharshi's case also you can see arabdha karma nirvanam nipadat panchabhautikaha. Throughout Srimad Bhagavatam you will notice this one thing. Prarabdham is stressed again and again. Prarabdham is keeping this body going. Sri Narada Maharshi's case, Jadabharata's case, same thing. Prarabdham is spoken there. He had to take the birth of a deer. Isn't it? The deer's body. Prarabdham again. It says there clearly. Prarabdham caused that, he says. Some prarabdham was there behind. Accordingly, he had to accept that body of a deer. How do we see these things? This can see sometimes happening in some places. In some places. Once it so happened in an ashram, one great Mahatma was living there. A college professor came to visit him a few hundred miles away, where the professor came to visit him. When he came with his two young daughters who were 8 years, 10 years old. And this Mahatma met this professor along with these two daughters, two children. So Mahatma, after seeing them, jnanis know what is the destiny of many people, what's going to happen to them. So seeing one of those little girls, he started instructing her on spiritual life. Many people in the ashram told him, what does that child understand about spiritual life and self-realization and soul and everything? So he won't give up. He continued to talk to her about this. Simple things he taught him. I am not this body. Body is not mine. I have mood changes, so many bodies. I come back to this body after so many births. And when the time is finished in this body, when the prarabdham is finished, I leave this body. Like fundamental things in the regarding transmigration of the soul and the our spiritual identity. That is a process, isn't it? Constantly being told about that. So this little girl who was 8 years or so old was listening to this all the time from this Mahatma. For a month or so they lived in the ashram. He knew very well that the child won't live very long. Because the child's tendencies, he was able to notice from the very beginning that he had that spiritual inclination in the child, and who had come here due to some prarabdham to finish, it had come here. So he kept talking to her, and one day they were leaving the ashram. The day they had to leave ashram, the professor was going back to his place where he came from, and the two children also with him. So he called this little girl and told her, don't forget anything what I have taught you. Remember everything about this body. I'm not this body. Generally, we tell people even at the age of 80 that you are not this body. They are still thinking what it is. Just see that previous connection, how it comes like that. But this child took it very seriously. What he taught was very simple things. Deham naham. I'm not this body. Deham naham. Koham soham. Four words he spoke to her. Koham deham naham means I am not this body. I am not this body. Deham naham. I am not this body. Koham soham. And who am I? I am that, the truth. I am the truth. In other words, I am soul. Consciousness, in other words. So this he kept repeating these four words to that child. Koham naham deham naham koham soham. Repeated this to that child for this whole month. And the day they had to leave, this Mahatma told that girl, now you go home and don't forget this word, saying that you go to your place, I'm going for my walk. And he walked away from there. After getting back home, after a month or so, the child died. The child died, left the body. So the parents, knowing very well that the child had this, has come due to some prarabdham in that family to take birth like that. So when she died, after her burial, they left a plaque there saying, Deham naham koham soham. Just in a memory of this. So this is how it happens. that many times when we have to accept certain life, nobody understands these things. Medical science and all cannot answer all these things. This cannot be answered, because when one takes birth in one particular situation, how long he has to live in that body, when does he has to leave that body, these are decided by higher law. It's not in our control. It's not in our control. So, that is important. So, so for realized, those who are realized in this particular life, you can see very much their purva abhyasam. That means what they have practiced in their previous lifetimes, that will be very strong influence on their decisions in this world. And once it's happened, even if they don't like it to continue, material circumstances are such that they are influenced by even other thoughts or other influences of this world. Even if that happens, somehow or the other, the power is so forceful that it will pull them out from there, from that state. They'll be pulled out from that state. That they'll be somehow or the other will get attracted to their spiritual life somehow. And Krishna is saying this must happen, and that's what is the next verse. Tatratam buddhi samyogam लभदे पूर्वदेहिकम् यतते चतथो भूयान् संसिद्धौ कुरु नन्दना तत्र तं बुद्धिसंयोगम् लभदे पौर्वदेहिकम् यतते चतथो भूयान् संसिद्धौ कुरु नन्दना. So that's what we're discussing, that yatra tatradam buddhisam yogam, by buddhisam yogam, the connection of the intelligence happens with the buddhisam yogam. Buddhi gets connected with the what? Paurva dehigam, with the previous body. What we're saying before, labhade paurva dehigam, buddhi gets connected with the purva deham, previous body, what he had. And then what will happen? Yatate cha tatho bhuyal samsiddho gurunandana. Once that happens, then he will get his perfection after that. You can see, on taking such a birth, he again revives the divine consciousness of his previous life, and he tries to make further progress in order to achieve complete success. O son of Kuru. So that's what we are saying, this little child's case also. At that age, 5 years old, how did that happen? Because as soon as, this is Krishna's arrangement, as soon as she met this Mahatma, Mahatma had to say to her this. It's all arranged by Krishna's plans, that Mahatma spoke to her that it is like this, you are not this body. This body will die one day. And body is not for enjoyment. Body has to be given up. You are soul. Deham naham. You are not this body. Soham koham. Who am I then? Then that naturally, the girl cannot be many, not very higher level of Vedantam or anything, very simple things he spoke to her according to her understanding. But he knew very well that she is ready to go. She is ready to go. So that's what has happened to her. And Krishna says here that as it has happened, in the same way he says here, that it's only because of that previous link with that body that this spiritual life becomes very vibrant in this particular life for that child, for that person. That's what is in the next verse, 44. Purvabhyasena teneiva hriyadehavashopisam jityasur apiyogasyam శబ్ద బ్రహ్మాది వర్తతే పూర్వాభ్యాసేన తేనైవ క్రియతే హ్యవశోపి సాం జిజ్ఞాసోరపి యోగస్య శబ్ద బ్రహ్మాది వర్తతే పూర్వాభ్యాసేన తేనైవ క్రియతే హ్యవశోపి సాం జిజ్ఞాసుర్ అపి యోగస్య శబ్ద బ్రహ్మాది వర్తతే. కృష్ణ సేస్, బై వర్చ్యూ ఆఫ్ ద డివైన్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ ప్రీవియస్ లైఫ్ హీ ఆటోమేటికలీ బికమ్స్ అట్రాక్టెడ్ టు ద యోగిక్ ప్రిన్సిపల్స్ ఈవన్ వితౌట్ సీకింగ్ దెమ్. సచ్ అన్ ఇన్క్విసిటివ్ ట్రాన్సెండెంటలిస్ట్ స్ట్రైవింగ్ ఫర్ యోగా స్టాండ్స్ ఆల్వేస్ అబౌవ్ ద రిచువలిస్టిక్ ప్రిన్సిపల్స్ ఆఫ్ ద స్క్రిప్చర్ అబౌవ్ ది రిచువలిస్టిక్ ప్రిన్సిపల్స్ ఆఫ్ ది scripture. So I don't think Krishna can be more straightforward than this about our ritualistic attractions which we are always seeing, isn't it? So purva abhyasena teneva kriya deha vashopisa jijnyasura bi yogasya shabda brahmadi vartade. Krishna is saying here that that even if he is a person who doesn't want it, even if he is in such a state, sometimes you can see some people don't want it, spiritual life. And he'll be so much attracted by the glare of Maya or material activities. Even if that happens, Krishna says he'll be pulled strongly if it was done in the previous lifetime. If it is. So, and who says this? Gopi says this. Gopi says we are unable to forget Krishna. That was their state. Why? Because of the previous connection. You know that. Gopis had a previous connection with Krishna. It didn't happen in that particular appearance as gopis. When Krishna appeared as Ramachandra, when he went to spend the time in the forest, in Dandakaranyam, that time several sages saw Ramachandra's beauty and liked him so much, they wanted to be with Ramachandra for a long period of time. Some of the sages wanted to, generally sages are very rough nature, rough in the sense long beard, and living in the forest, they don't maintain or look after their body so much, do they? They live a life of very high austerity and simplicity. Whereas Ramachandra coming from the palace was like a prince, and Sita Devi and Lakshmana, all of them, they lived that higher style of life, of the comforts in life. So Ramachandra said to these sages, at this point in time, I would not associate with you, but there will be another opportunity to associate with me very closely. And it is those great sages who have come and taken birth as gopis in the next life. So generally, all those personalities, this happens only in special cases. Like gopis had come because of the association they wanted to have with Ramachandra. It was offered in Krishnavadaram, in appearance of Krishna. Krishna offered that facility for them. Similarly, the apsaras women who came from the heavenly planets, they wanted to associate with Krishna at the time of birth. So they were given an opportunity as well. They were given an opportunity. And there are three or four Rishicharis, Vanacharis. There are mentions there in the Bhagavadam that gopis belongs to different categories. All of them had in their previous life wanted to associate with Krishna strongly. So they were invited to come in this appearance as Krishna. Therefore they were invited. So Ramachandra told them that this appearance is for establishing dharma, isn't it? For establishing dharma, Ramachandra had come in that for that reason. And therefore, he says, in the next lifetime, there will be plenty of opportunities to associate with Krishna. So that is why, as soon as they heard the sound of the flute, immediately they got attracted. If you remember in Bhagavadam, if you read the 10th canto, you will see there that when Krishna played the flute, everybody was not attracted. Many people heard the flute, but they were not attracted. Only the gopis got attracted to playing the flute. And they alone, and some commentators say only gopis heard the flute. Krishna had the capacity to hold back the sound reaching everyone. Only those whom wanted, Krishna wanted to hear, they alone heard the sound of the flute. And only they alone came to meet Krishna in the rasa dance. So, Priyadeva Gopisa, they have forgotten everything and they even broke all the law of the society and ran away from home, isn't it? Their parents try to stop, husbands try to stop, so many people try to stop them, but they left. They didn't care. That is that power of that Purva Abhyasam from the previous life, pulling it back to spiritual life again. So Krishna's words don't go wrong. It always happens. Whatever Krishna has spoken has happened in so many lifetimes. So when they ran back to see Krishna, they didn't have any worry about their home. He didn't care. They didn't bother about that. He says here, Purvai Purvabhyasena Tenaiva. There he says in that verse, isn't it? Purvabhyasam. That's what it is. Attraction was already in their mind due to the Purvabhyasam. Purvabhyasam means from the previous lifetime. Hiredehi Avashobisa. So what happens is, when there is such a powerful attraction pulling you in that direction, you become very helpless. You have to go. You have no choice in that state. So in the similarly, Krishna says here, once this inquisitiveness or jijnyasa happens in yoga process, that then for them all the injunctions of the Vedas have no not valid anymore. For example, Vedic injunctions are such that the young girls in that age should not run to the to see somebody at night, in the middle of the night. So Vedic injunctions don't allow all that, isn't it? But they broke that. They didn't break it, it has happened for them. Because of that powerful attraction from the previous life. There, the Vedic vidhi nishedam means the do's and don'ts don't apply anymore. They crossed beyond that. They've gone beyond that stage. So that doesn't apply to them. So when they have fallen into the attraction, Krishna's attraction, therefore, immediately once you've fallen into that attraction, then vidhi and nishedam. Vidhi and nishedam. Vidhi means the prescribed rules and regulations do not apply anymore. And that is why Krishna uses that word Shabda Brahmadi Vartade. If you look into that verse, you will see a word used, Shabda Brahmadi Vartade. Shabda Brahmam means Vedam, Vedic injunctions. Shabda Brahmam Adivartade. He crossed over that, he says here. So, Shabdam, how do you know Shabda Brahmam? Because when Chitragedu went to see, Sri Narada Maharshi sent Chitragedu to the spiritual world, you know, that before he took the birth of Srutrasura. So when he went there, he met Lord Balaram there, Sankarshanamurti. So Sankarshanamurti gave the transcendental instructions to Chitragedu. There he says, Shabda Brahma Param Brahma Mama Obhe Shashwadi Talum. I have two forms, he says here. One is Shabda Brahmam and the other one is Parabrahmam. These two forms are my eternal forms, Shabda Brahmam and Parabrahmam. So sometimes Vedam is referred to as Shabda Brahmam. That is why. So actually, if you remember, when we discussed that 10th, 11th chapters, there Krishna spoke about the birth of Jiva, isn't it? Birth of Jiva. And there the birth is from the Shabda Brahmam. Have you noticed how the sound comes out from the Muladharam, Swadhisthanam, Manipuragam, like that it comes, and in the form of the Vaikari it comes out from the mouth. If you remember that verses, we discussed that at that time. So there it was Shabda Brahmam as the origin of the soul. Origin of the soul was spoken in the Shabda Brahmam. And it is the Shabda Brahmam that stays as the basis of our personality in us. In other words, through that Shabda Brahmam, everything is created. All our thoughts, everything goes through that. Just like I mentioned before this, that the thoughts develops in different stages inside, isn't it? Para, Pashyanti, Madhyama, Vaikari. According to the place where the thought has originated, it moves through and eventually it comes out as Vaikari in the most gross form. Isn't it? Most gross form, when it comes out, it's called Vaikari. Para is the original, Paranadam it is called. Krishna connects that Paranadam with the Shabda Brahma. That is what we have seen there. That sa esha jivo vivara prasudi. If you remember that verse, sa esha jivo vivara prasudi, how the jiva has come about from the jiva takes birth from Shabda Brahma. That's what we have spoken. So sa esha jivo vivara prasudi and matrastha vishta, that all it gets that appearance in that way, that it comes through these different states of Pashyanti, Para, Pashyanti, Madhyama, and eventually it comes out in the form of Vaikari. It is very much in a subtle state when it is in the Para form, Pashyanti form. By the time it comes to Madhyama, it has more or less developed into a perfection of thought and it comes out as Vaikari from inside. The Shabda Brahma comes out. So there is a link, strong link, with the living entity, the soul and sound. Soul and the sound. So you can see that everyone accepts this principle. Even the scientists agree with this. Then they came up this Big Bang theory and all that. Sound has something to do with us very closely. There's such a strong link between us and the sound. And in the process of creation also, if you look, you will see sky, which is the first material element, from which the other material elements have come later, the quality of that material element is sound. Sound is the quality of the material element, tanmatra, it's called, of the sky. So, para, pashyanti, madhyama, vaikari, Shabda Brahmam goes in that direction. And Krishna is saying here that that Shabda Brahmam also it crosses. It crosses at that time. When did that happen? That Krishna says here, when that Purvabhyasam, from the previous life, whatever force or the power that is pushing the soul to go back to that spiritual activity, what he was performing, provided he has advanced very much in the previous life, only then this will happen. This happens, let's understand this. This only happens, a person has reached very close to perfection and he fell. He didn't make it, because that was Arjuna's question before, isn't it? What will happen to him? A yogi who has reached that stage, but he didn't make it. Nahi kalyanagral kaschil durgadim tada gachadi. What will happen to him? It was then that Krishna says he will never perish, but what will happen is he has to come back and get a body for a few years in somewhere, he'll take a birth, but the Purva Abhyasam, that Purva Vasana from previous life, will strongly pull him out in whatever circumstances he is born and give this impetus to go back to. And you will see this so fast that progress in their spiritual life. Someone who has not studied Vedic literature, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Upanishads, nothing, at the age of 14, 15, they leave home, a few years of intense spiritual activity, and when they come out from there, after that, in realized state, they know all the Shastram, all the Upanishads, everything. Because they have realized and experienced it. And when you ask them a question, they will answer you from the Shastram. They never went to school, they never studied any any spiritual literature either. So this is that Purva Vasana, Purva Abhyasam. It comes like that. And that's what Krishna is saying there. That he says here, Purvabhyasena Tenaiva. Purvabhyasam was very strong. That's why. In this life, nothing much has happened. But Purvabhyasena Tenaiva Kriyadehi Avashobisa. He's Avasha. He can't help it. Because he got very close to the truth, to the self-realization. That's why. Kriyadehi Avashobisa. Avasha he is. He's helpless about it. Even if he wants to, he can't stop it. He has reached that far. You see? He has reached that far. You can see, so long as this false ego is operating inside, all this plan making and what we want to do, how much we want to do spiritually in this life, we want to make a decision now, isn't it? And we want to play it very safe. Only if it works, we will take it. Otherwise, why should we waste our time? All these conceptions are there. But that does not happen to them, to these personalities. They have gone beyond all these things. They don't think anymore. We still have a doubt whether we are this body or not. All these questions are still there in us, isn't it? On a certain level. Otherwise, why we get so disturbed when there is a little disturbances for the body? That's because it's not we are not realized anything still. It's still very much on the bodily platform. So, but these personalities, Krishna is referring to here, that their purvabhyasam in the previous life was so intense that due to somewhere some fall down happened, they could not perfect it before they had to leave the body. Before that, they had to leave the body. But when they came here in the next life, in a few years' time, suddenly Krishna brings that back. The memory of that purvabhyasam, purvavasanas, comes back straight away. And when it comes back, they are helpless, they say. Krishna is saying here, they are helpless. Kriyade avashobhisa. He's avasham, he's helpless about it. And then, jityasur abhiyogasya. Then, Shabda Brahmadi Vartade. He is Shabda Brahmam. He crosses over. He says, so, after saying that, Krishna says, then let's look at the next verse. What happens? Prayatnan yadamanastu
yogisham shuddha kilbisha
Aneka janma samsiddha tatoyati parangadim prayatnat yadamanastu yogisam shuddha kilbisha Aneka janma samsiddha tatoyati parangadim. Translation. But when the yogi engages himself with sincere endeavor in making further progress, being washed off all contamination, then ultimately after many, many births of practice, he attains the supreme goal. So, prayatnad yadamanastu yogi samshuddha kilbisha anega janma samsiddhas tatoyadi parangadim. So, Krishna says here, that although he is endeavoring very hard, prayatnam means he is putting a lot of endeavor into that. Samshuddha kilbisham, there is still some kilbisham inside. Kilbisham means the vasanas, purva vasana, which is coming from sinful things, sinful vasanas, whatever that is. When that's removed, he gets purified. And what is that vasana? I am the doer. I am the enjoyer. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. These are all working in a very subtle level inside, all of us, isn't it? Every activity when we perform, no matter what we say, that I am not doing it, Krishna is doing it, all we will say like that. But that is not something which happens very easily. As I mentioned before, in the Bhashyams you will see there, these four things, kartratvam, bhoktratvam, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, and also attachment and aversion in karmam is difficult to take it away. It's not easy to take it away. We may say that I'm doing devotional service, but even there, these four things don't go easily. So many things you may give up in life. For example, you may give up your enjoyment in this world from different areas. You may pull back and say, I'm not engaged anymore. Sinful activity, you're following for regulative principles and all, that's fine. But these four things doesn't leave you very easily. I'm the doer, I'm the enjoyer, kartratvam and bhoktratvam, and ragam and dvesham. And that is what Krishna is calling here as kilbisham. He's not talking about gross sinful things anymore. Gross sinful things, that stage is all finished. You are on a very subtle level, you're operating still. But what Krishna says here, that
that this is the greatest problem in the yoga practice. So how do you do that? Samshuddha kilbishaha. I think Krishna says like that, isn't it? That prayatnar yad atmanascha atmanastu yogi samshuddha kilbisha. Samshuddha kilbisha means that this, even that is considered to be that in many, many lifetimes, in many, many lifetimes, after so many lifetimes of practice to come to this stage of maturity in spiritual life, to come to this stage of maturity. So how does that happen? In many lifetimes he has performed pious activities and he has followed Karma Yoga principles strongly. Principles of Karma Yoga very strongly. He has followed the Karma Yoga principles very strongly, and due to that Chitta Shuddhi has happened. Purification has happened inside. And in that purified state he started seeing the truth. Only then this Tattvajnanam will come to him. Otherwise it won't happen. Mechanically doing things is not the answer to the problems. That we have to know what Bhagavad Gita is telling us. Bhagavad Gita is saying to us, if you perform this Karma Yogam, you will at least acquire some Chitta Shuddhi. Chitta Shuddhi means purification of the consciousness. When that purification happens, you become receptive to the spiritual knowledge. Receptive to the spiritual knowledge. Let's understand this a little bit better, deeper way. This is an age we live now with so much advancement in technology, engineering, medicine, science, everything. Isn't it? It's an age, no doubt about that. Science has advanced so far that it has changed our life to such an extent. When you see a 5-year-old child today, he's not the same 5-year-old when we were 5-year-olds. You can see that. That child can sit in front of a very complex computer, operate it, and do so many things, and he knows a lot with help of Google and all other people who are helping him, isn't it? So he's not the same child as we were. When we were children at 5 years old, we knew nothing about this world, isn't it? He sits there and he in front of the computer, plus so many other things. Why? It's not his special capacity, it's just that the society he lives in is like that. The society's advancement in all fields. If you tell somebody, this internet was not known to us, isn't it? How many years is there? 10, 15 years is now freely available. Telephones, mobile phones, even televisions. These things didn't exist. 40, 50 years ago, it was practically not there. We had to study in the oil lamps when we were at school. And there was no problem with that, but now the advancement has gone so fast, present-day children will find it very difficult to live without these things, isn't it? For them, it's not a new thing. That's where they were born, in that situation. Okay. That's as far as the children are concerned. Now, if you look into other areas, for example, medicine, there is so much advancement in the field of medicine also. On the modern medicine, whichever way it is done. And that has affected the society also considerably, isn't it? That there's so many medicines available and so many different kinds of treatment. You can, if a hand is lost, replacement, leg is lost, replacement. So many things, replacement is possible. And people are feeling the benefit of this scientific advancement in various and different areas. Traveling 50, 60 years ago was not a choice at all. There wasn't much of a choice. In the villages, hardly a bus will come once a day. And here, you have every 10 minutes or 5 minutes, the bus is going everywhere. And even if it's empty, it will still come, coming and going. It's going. All that. So you can see that the technology has helped to improve these living conditions in very advanced state in every field of life. Isn't it? Every field of life. You all agree with that, don't you? It's very simple. Similarly, practicing spiritual life also in the modern world is also much easier than before in many ways. For example, the amount of Bhagavatam classes going on all over the world, the amount of association with devotees, amount of opportunities to associate with the temple, spiritual activities, holy traveling to holy places. In the past, traveling to Vrindavan and all was just once in a lifetime if it happens. Many people had to leave this world without going to Vrindavan because it was not possible. Traveling to Vrindavan was so difficult. One train passed through to Bombay, one to Calcutta, one to Chennai. This is what it used to happen at that time. I'm talking about 78 years ago. Yeah. So if you have to go, it was very difficult to get a seat in those trains. And even if you do get to Mathura, the only option you had was to call the Tonga, the horse cart, to get to Vrindavan 10 kilometers. And it was not easy. And today, what happens? You decide today, tonight you can catch the Jet Airways or Kingfisher or Black to Delhi, and tomorrow morning you can be in Vrindavan. Isn't it? So all these areas, even in spiritual life, you have all much more easier. Everything has been made easy. Isn't it? If you want to go to Badrinath, all you have to do is wait till May. You can book now. And go in May for a couple of weeks, you take time off from work and go to Badrinath. Badrinath was not a possibility at all. Once somebody has gone to Badrinath in the olden days, 60, 70 years ago, he was looked upon as though as a sage has come from the Himalayas down. To that much, the amount of respect was given to him because he has gone to Badrinath. Now, every sadhu in UK or every sadhu in Europe has gone to Badrinath. Isn't it? Majority of people have gone and come back. So there's nothing new there. So even there you can see in spirit. I'm saying all those things connected with spiritual life has become easier than before. Tirthayatra, pilgrimage has become easier. And also prasadam is no problem nowadays, isn't it? Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu in, go inside, finish, prasadam. So which area would you think that in spiritual life the things have got better? In every area it has become. Now, this is more interesting. When you look at all these things, just like everything else has progressed, spiritual life has also progressed. The result must be, we should be seeing a lot of liberated souls on all the streets walking around. Is it not? On the same principle as the advancement in the material life. We should find a lot of liberated people. Liberated Jivan Muktas, in other words, jnanis or pure devotees all over the street we should find. But we hardly find one. Why? This is the question you have to ask. Why is it like that? Every area has advanced, made progress, everything. But only here you see the block there. It hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. There is so many satsangam going on. So many people are attending so many classes, courses, seminars, this, that and everything. In so many institutions, not only ISKCON, there are so many other institutions also preaching spiritual life in different levels, isn't it? This mission, that mission, and this ashram, that ashram, so many, you know very well. So people are going to all these ashrams. And more than anything else, you can get all the lectures from all the sannyasis, all the yogis, all the gurus on internet, download them and hear them also. Never a time existed like this before in the history, you have to remember. Never before you could get the classes from LA to Sydney, from your sitting there in your room. You could download everything and listen to it. All the books, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to walk over 1,000 miles to copy one chapter from Brahma Samhita in his time, isn't it? You know that. Brahma Samhita, he went to Tiruvatar Adhikeshava temple. He sat there and stayed there for many days to copy that book, which one copy was available. From there he had to copy. He had to do that. And that was the time many of these great personalities lived, in that time. They had practically no possibility of acquiring the Vedic literature. It was so difficult. There was nobody printing them. Nobody was freely distributing them. And printing was out of question. Paper was not available. Shortage of paper. And naturally, to get a copy means you have to contact so many people. And if you are fortunate, somebody may lend you a book. You have to sit there and write all the 18,000 verses of Bhagavatam into a plain paper and take it as your copy. So if there is any mistake in copying, that will stay there. That is how it was in them days. And today, how many sets of Bhagavatam you want to just tell me? We can arrange it from the godown straight away. Isn't it? How many sets of Bhagavatam if you need? Same thing with Bhagavad Gita or any Upanishads, any Puranams, they are all plenty available books in print. Which language you tell us, you will get it. And hard-bound, soft-bound you want, you tell us that you can get it. Everything is possible today. All is available. That's one side. Now, if you are not satisfied with that, if you want, you can also get directly spoken by somebody. All the verses and so many CDs, cassettes, CDs, iPods, Apple, or this, that, everything. Everything available in the recorded form, which you can carry with you. So, and loads of people are listening to all these things. Are they not? The many people, I don't know what they are. Sometimes even devotees, you see one plug here and one plug here, and holding this in the hand, they'll be sitting like that. So they are supposed to be listening to somebody's class or somebody's lecture, whatever it is. What does this mean? That they are all doing all these things, but how come there is no one coming out from this group who has realized the truth? This question we have to ask, isn't it? In every other field, we have advanced so high, we have made everything so easy. Alone in this spiritual field, this hasn't happened. That is where we have to go back to Shastram and check why it hasn't happened. Answer is, Adhikarinam Ashaste. We are a group of people now in this world who do not want to follow what Krishna is saying to us. We want shortcuts everywhere. Everything. Krishna says, Karma Yoga is a must. Without that, you're not going to get pure. Therefore, when transcendental knowledge is spoken, it's not going in. You're reading it, but it's not going in. It's not affecting the person. Realization is not happening. That is the problem. Adhikarinam Ashaste, it says. Adhikaritvam is not there. Because generally, once you come to spiritual life, there are certain qualities to be there so that this knowledge can take control of us. This knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. We are, on the other hand, are fighting with the very base qualities of life. Very base things we are fighting with, isn't it? Envy. And also the desire for name and fame, control others, others' life, and everything should be under my control. This kind of things. This is the problem. That ego won't allow them to happen. So therefore, in the 10th chapter, if you remember, Krishna said there one important thing to us. In the Ekadasha Skandam, talking about. What did he say? If disciple has these qualities, and the guru has these qualities, it will work. If disciple don't have these qualities, and guru doesn't have these qualities, it will not work. Both ways he spoke there. Remember that? Asatvaro artha jityasu anasuya amokhavak. Disciple's quality is saying, isn't it? Asatvaro artha jityasu anasuya amokhavak. In the Bhagavatam, if it is in the 10th chapter, in the Ekadasha Skandam, if you see, you will see there, he mentions that very clearly. That Amani Amalsaro Daksho Narmamo Drada Sauhrada Asatvaro Artha Jityaso Anasuyo Amokhavak. He says there. This is the qualification for one who comes to spiritual life. He says, Amani Amalsaro Daksho. First of all, Amanitam. Amanitam means freedom from pride. That I am somebody, we say, isn't it? I am somebody. He says, Krishna is saying, you are nobody. So we find that difficult to accept, isn't it? But disciple's quality is that. Amani. Amani means I am nobody. Amani. What else? Amal Saro. He has not come here to compete with anyone. He has not come to this. So, unless all these things have come to a person, Amani Amal Saro Daksho Narmama Drada Sauhridaha. Narmama means no mamata, no attachment anywhere. He has made up his mind what he wants in spiritual life. He is clear in his head. So if a person has come to that state, Drada Sauhrida, and all he knows is his relationship with the spiritual master. What kind of relationship that is? Drada Sauhrida. Drada Sauhrida means his surrender is so good that he has surrendered to a person whom he knows will give him shelter in spiritual life. In spiritual life. That is that relationship. It's not an ordinary mundane relationship. A perfect surrender of the... You will see this in the Bhagavad Gita, Ekadasha Skandham also. It's the same thing, isn't it? Arjuna and Uddhava, two perfect examples. How they surrender to Krishna. So, Amani Amal Saro Daksho Narmamo Drada Sauhrida. And that relationship is Drada Sauhridam, very firm between the Guru and the disciple. And he says, Asatvaro. And not that he will jump and go and do some things, what he thinks is right for himself. No. Everything he will listen to the instructions from the spiritual master. And in spiritual master's instructions alone, he will conduct his life in this world. Spiritual master's duty is to pull the person out of their material life. If he's not doing it, what's the use? Why waste time? Is it a show going on here? What's the benefit from that? Spiritual master's duty is to pull him out of that material life. Asatvaro, arthajijnyasu. And that person, arthajijnyasu, he has to have that jijnyasa for knowing the truth. Intense burning desire inside. Asatvaro, arthajijnyasu, anasuyo, amokhavak. Anasuya, he has no envy towards anyone. Why? He knows what he wants in life. Why should he be envy with anybody else? Envy and all is on a material status, isn't it? Material consciousness is envy. Asatvaro artajijnyasu anasuyo amokhavak. Amokhavak means one who has controlled his words. He is careful what he is talking, because he will only talk if it is necessary in relationship with self-realization. Otherwise, no talking. So that kind of a disciple who has that stage. And he also says, there again, in one verse, Krishna spoke about the Guru. Isn't it? What did he say? Yamana bhikshnam seveda neyaman malpare kojil mad abhityam gurum shantam upasidam adalmagam. Krishna's point is, that personality who can take such a disciple, who can accept such a disciple, will be yamana bhikshnam seveta neyaman malpare kojil. He has, after his experience in this world and from the Shastram, he has come to the point that he is completely to surrender to Krishna. All the time, all circumstances, he is fully surrendered to Krishna. Malpara kochil, malpara kochil. Madhabityam, Krishna says. Madhabityam, he knows what is Krishna. He knows what is Krishna, not just words. He knows what is Krishna means. Madhabityam gurum shantam upasidam madalmagam, he says there. So, he is in a state that Guru shantam, he is peaceful about everything, upasidam adalmagam, and he does not see any difference from me, himself. Why? Because earlier in the Ekadasha Skandham, it's also mentioned that when he has taken that position of a spiritual master, there he is aware that he is functioning on behalf of Krishna. On behalf of Krishna. Atmano Guru Ratmaiva Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshan Anumanabhyam Shreyasam Anuvindade. If you remember earlier, we discussed that. So, Pratyakshan Anumanabhyam, the spiritual master is Krishna himself, who has come from outside. He operates as the spiritual master, from inside as the super soul, somehow or the other takes the attention of the jiva towards the soul for self-realization, in other words. So that attachment to the spiritual master in that stage, when one does like that, cannot be broken. Nirindana Ivanala in the Shastram says like that, isn't it? So it is a stage which was happening to many people in the previous times. which is not happening nowadays. That is the reason why, in spite of all this advancement in science, technology and everything, when you see all the progress happening elsewhere, only in this field alone, we are not making much of a success for this reason. That is the explanation to that. There is no other explanation. Why? Because you can see that Krishna has very stipulated these conditions, isn't it? He said that. Amani amalsaro daksho nirmamo dradasav. Now, what's happening is, all these alsangams, all these different programs going on in different places, practically it is working like a shock absorber for most of the people. It does the job of a shock absorber. What is that? That they are suffering heavily in this world with the work, family life, this, that, everything. So at least in a week, if you get a couple of hours free from that, that's all they are getting it from that. Nothing more than that. It's not happening. That's just like a shock absorber. Satsangam is practically like a shock absorber. Nothing more than that. Takes some shocks from the material life. Not more than that. It finishes there. And then the next week again, back the same situation. So, this is why important thing to look at these things. You have to look back to the times before, and then you can see what's happening now and what happened then. When we had no facilities for any of these things, there were great, great personalities who were born in spiritual life, spiritual path. Many, many great souls have appeared. And now we have all the facilities, and what we find is that either it turns into a commercial business or it develops into some other form. This is what sad thing is. What can you do? This is where it is today. So, that's what it says here. Therefore, Krishna says here that this knowledge, Krishna says, that many, many lifetimes it takes to come to a maturity in this world, in spiritual life. Many, many lifetimes it takes here. One devotee, Lord Shiva's devotee, Manikya Vachaka, famous personality, he says there at that time that I took the birth of a womb, worm, then grass, and then snake, and so many different bodies I went through. And nowhere I didn't get anywhere still. One day, out of your mercy, you pulled me out from this world. You pulled me out from this world. He says like this in his Trivajagam. He says this, that I've gone through all these different bodies, but one day, out of your mercy, you pulled me out from this material existence. All great devotees have surrendered to Krishna in that way. And from their surrender, they have reach that state of perfection. So he says like that, that even I had gone through the body of a demigod and human body. Every body I have changed, but nothing happened till that mercy came from Krishna. So why no mercy is coming now? That's a question, isn't it? Why Krishna is not showing any mercy? Because we are not following what Krishna is saying. We are making our own law. And we want Krishna to listen to us, what we say, tell him to do. And therefore it's going on like this, and it will go one day and somewhere else. So you can see, so when we get that, each lifetime we get a little bit purification. This is what happens. In each lifetime we'll get a little bit of purification. And eventually sometimes you may fall down from the human form to an animal's form. It doesn't matter. Sometimes we are worried, at least if I don't become an animal next life, it's okay. No, it can happen, like in the case of Jatabharata. Jatabharata's story, you know very well, that he had to go into a deer body, and then he had to come back again. So what it is showing to us is, that in which body you are is not so important. Some misunderstanding we have. Human body is no doubt is the best place for self-realization. But many instances, they had to, jnanis and great devotees also, they had to go through the animal's body. That is why very advanced and self-realized personalities, they don't limit themselves of talking to human society alone. Sometimes they talk to the plants, the birds, the animals, and the trees even. Because you don't know that this knowledge of Shastram is possible to affect anybody. If there is life, life can be affected by the Shastram. It is not dependent on the developed intelligence or mind or any other assets what you have. It has nothing to do with that. It's a completely independent thing. We think that, I can understand, but animals cannot understand. That's not true. Many instances, animals have understood better. Actually, animals are feeling some compassion for us nowadays. Animals are thinking, we don't have to work 10 hours a day. We work only 1 or 2 hours a day and we get food. And this thing called human species from morning to night is hammering for what? The animals are looking at us and they are talking to each other in their own language, seeing our present state. So what is the benefit of having this human body if the whole human life is used simply for filling the belly? That's the question, isn't it? So naturally Krishna thinks that there is no qualified candidates who are ready for self-realization. So, and we have manufactured our own spiritual understanding of things and we want to continue in that way. That's why once it so happened was Lord Buddha. Buddha's case, if you read, you will see this. Buddha, once what happened was he had his disciples. None of them was able to understand Buddha's realization. So Buddha one day, without saying anyone, left and went to the forest, Parleka forest. It's called Parlekavanam. Went to Parleka forest. There, when he was in meditation, Buddha used to talk to all the birds, the animals, and even to the elephants, tigers and all. Buddha used to speak to them. And because there was no envy or there was no vairam, enmity towards other living entities, there was nobody attacked Buddha. No wild animals has attacked Buddha in the forest. You will see Buddha stories if you read, you will see this there. Buddha was there in the forest and he was in meditation. He wanted to run away from the disciples. And that's what he did at the end. He went and sat there in the forest. So in one instance, one elephant used to come to him. And he used to tell the elephant that you are not this body. And so many things, many things in the Buddhism also has come from the Vedas. It's not something completely independent. Only thing is total authority of the Vedic authority, Varnashrama Dharmam, they didn't accept. Therefore, Buddhism had to stay apart from the Vedic philosophy. But otherwise, many things, the knowledge of the soul, so many things are from the Upanishads has come. So he was teaching this elephant the knowledge of the soul. After a while, then elephant got a service attitude towards Buddha. Elephant used to go to the forest, bring water for Buddha to bathe. And in the cold weather, it used to go to find some stream where hot water stream was there in the forest, bring water from there and bathe Buddha with that hot water. Things like that the elephant used to do. Seeing all these things, a monkey who is observing all these things, he also got interested and Buddha started talking to him to that monkey as well. So the monkey used to go and bring fruits, nice fruits for Buddha to eat. And monkey was serving Buddha, elephant was serving Buddha. Both of them were serving Buddha and Buddha was preaching, talking to them about the knowledge of the soul. So Buddha used to talk to them regularly, to these animals in the forest. So Buddha's understanding was that these animals have come due to some prarabdham, due to some fall down, they had to accept that body. But only Mahatmas know these things. Only such realized souls know, because their inside is like a mirror. It reflects everything. Whatever you have going through inside, your whole history will reflect inside their heart. They can see through your previous life, where you stand in spiritual life. So that's what it says here. So, Patebiyadi Parangadi, he says, Krishna says here, isn't it? So, a person who has reached that state, he is great. Krishna says, he is a yogi. He is a yogi. Now, while discussing this, if you understand that animals also have the capacity for spiritual life, it's wrong to think that they cannot have spiritual life, because even though they do not have the knowledge of the Shastram, certain qualities of the soul exist in them as well. Isn't it? The soul is same in us, soul is same there. In the animals also, the soul is there. And that soul has the capacity to react if somebody talks to them about the truth. Soul has the capacity to respond if somebody talks to them about the truth. And the greatest quality of the soul is this thing called Priyam, isn't it? Priyam Bhavati. Upanishad says like that, Priyam Bhavati. Priyam Bhavati means, Priyam means a loving relationship with other living entities, knowing very well that the Krishna's presence in other living beings. Other living beings. That is called Priyam. We talked about that before. That Priyam, when you see another person, you feel attachment. Attachment means a happiness inside. When you meet somebody, where is that happiness coming from? It comes from the soul. It is not coming from the mind. It's not coming from the intelligence. It's coming from the soul. That is called Priyam. That's called Priyam. We talked earlier also about this, isn't it? Priyam. So, years ago, I think it was about 1960 or 70, sometime around that time, Harrods were selling lions. Did you know that? They used to sell lions. And one couple, they bought a lion from Harrods. And they brought up that lion in the city somewhere. They had a flat. It was their pet, this baby lion. Very small it was. They brought up that lion. Imagine bringing up a lion at home. So, when they brought up that baby lion, they looked after that baby very well, very well. It grew up. After a few years, they realized it's a bit risky to keep him at home. So, they decided to take that lion and leave him in the forest. So, they had some friends in Africa. I don't remember which country and all. They took that lion there to Africa. And with the help of somebody who was connected with the big forest there, they managed to get this lion into the group of other lions who were in the forest. And he lived there and left that, and they trained him up because he has grown up in the flat in the city. Now he has to go back into the forest. So when he lived there, he had great difficult in the beginning, but ultimately got used to it. He realized who he is, actually. In other words, his self-realization happened there. In the forest. Yeah, in the forest it has happened. So after a year or two, this couple who brought him up, they had great affection for this baby lion. And the lion was also very affectionate towards the couple. So one day, they decided to go and visit him in the forest where they left him. When they went to see that lion in the forest, they opened the gate for him to get into the forest. And when this lion saw this couple, came running all the way, and exactly like a dog does, licking your body and hugging you, the lion started hugging both the husband and the wife. This is not a story. This is an incident, and it is on the YouTube if you want to watch. You type it there, Christian is the name of the lion. Christian is the name of the lion. Christian the lion, if you type out from the videos, you will get this, and there is about 20 videos over this lion. What does it mean? That lion experienced that Priyam Bhavati, that it hasn't gone away. You see, animals are not all that stupid as we think about it. So it can happen to them, even to animals. Where is the question, why it should not happen to human society? What I'm saying is, is not dependent on the intelligence, on the mind. It depends on the soul. That Priyam was there, that couple has shown Priyam, affection to that lion at so many years, and he hasn't forgotten. What else it does? By now, he has become the head there, among that group of lions there, and he got married as well. So he brings his wife and introduces the wife also. This lion introduces his wife to this couple. And wife stands there and looks at him. At the same time, when the husband is hugging the couple continuously without and constantly licking the with the tongue. Never did any harm to them. Never shown any. So that shows that Priyam Bhavati. Priyam does exist in them also. So don't experiment it, but that don't buy lion tomorrow, go to her. Carrots have stopped, I think, now selling lions and all. But one time, apparently, they sold it. It was there, apparently, in that time. I don't know whether they are American couple or not, I don't know, but it looks to me like that, that they were American people who did that. So what I'm saying is that we misunderstand that spiritual life is only for us, our exclusive. And no, spiritual life is not exclusive to anyone. Everyone has got the opportunity because that is how the soul works. Soul is independent of all these things, our so-called mind, intelligence. But what soul requires is a certain field inside to manifest that coverage, avaranam, it's called, isn't it? The coverage, what is happening in the form of avaranam and vikshepam. Avaranam is the covering potency and vikshepam is the deluding potency. Those two things. Avaranam, whole thing is focused on somewhere else, not on our mind and intelligence. Mind and intelligence is only good for our scientific activities or material activities. Vyavaharam, it does help, otherwise not. So, one who has acquired perfection in this world, in this very life, he is yogi, Krishna says, and that is the verse 46. Verse 46. Tapastibhyatiko yogi jnani bhyobhi madodhika karmibhyaschadiko yogi tasmad yogi bhavarjuna tapasibhyo adhiko yogi jnani bhyobhi madodhika karmibhyas chadhiko yogi tasmad yogi bhavarjuna. Now this is an interesting verse. Let's understand. Translation: a yogi is greater than ascetic, greater than the empiricist, and greater than the fruitive worker. Therefore, O Arjuna, in all circumstances be a yogi. Krishna says, tapasibhyadigo yogi, jnanibhyobhimatodhika, karmibhyojadhigo yogi, tasmad yogi bhavarjuna. If you read this verse, you will immediately say, oh, now I'm going to become a yogi then. Because that's the best, isn't it? I don't want to be a jnani, I don't want to be a karmi, I don't want to be a devotee, I want to be a yogi. That will be the immediate reaction. If you take individual verses from Bhagavad Gita and start reading, this is what will happen. That you'll start thinking like that. This has to be understood in what background Krishna has spoken these verses. When you understand, because it is like this, anything what Krishna has spoken, there is no contradiction. You have to accept that first. There's no contradiction. If you are feeling any contradiction, it is somewhere you're not able to connect properly in the Bhagavad Gita. That is why it is. If a contradiction comes, if you feel there is a contradiction, you have to accept that somewhere you have not connected properly with what Krishna has spoken. That's how you study Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, what will happen? Full of contradictions. Bhagavad Gita is full of contradictions. One says, Krishna says, Jnani is my best friend. Another place, Krishna says, there's nobody higher than the devotee. And now Krishna says, Yogi is the one you should become. So which one should we become? So that's why it says here, Tapasibhya adhiko yogi, Jnanibhyo abhimato adhika. Karma karmibhyascha adhiko yogi, tasmad yogi bhavarjuna. Krishna says, first of all, you become a yogi, he says to Arjuna. So, you will see, Krishna uses this word tasmat. Remember, one word Krishna likes very much, tasmat. So, tasmat he says here, everywhere you will sign, when he wants to stress something, you will say tasmat. You do that, he says. Become a yogi. So, become a yogi, he says. First he says, he is better than tapasvi. Tapasvi, yogi is better than tapasvi. What does it mean? Tapasya is performed. Tapasya means what? Tapam. Tapam means to burn oneself. Burn means that you have given a total dedication to one particular upasana or particular sadhana, and you have decided to continue in that at any cost. Like for example, you know, Hiranyakashipu did tapasya, isn't it? With one goal alone. What was that? Somehow or the other, he wanted to kill Vishnu. Therefore, he performed penances, very intense penances. Tapas, that was tapas. In the forest, he went to forest and performed intense penances. So that tapas, which lasted for quite a long time, isn't it? Eventually, you could see in that process, whole his body has all become completely lost all the strength, it become very much bones, body. And there's a photograph of that in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? Hiranyakashipu's performing penances. So when that happened to Hiranyakashipu, Brahma comes and from the Kamandalu took the water and sprinkled on him, and he got back his strength again into the... So he performed penances with one particular motive, goal. That was to kill Vishnu. Okay. Ravana performed penances also, and Kumbhakarna, both of them. His brother Kumbhakarna and Ravana, both of them performed penances, have they not? They performed penances. Ravana had a goal as well. That he had great ideas. Ravana had great ideas. And Kumbhakarna also performed penances, but all with some motive. So that kind of tapasya is what Krishna is talking about here. So, yogi is better than that. That's what Krishna is saying there. A yogi who is doing, so, one who is committing himself for some kind of tapasya. These are all tapasya, isn't it? A yogi is better than that, Krishna says. So many people you find in the Bhagavadam performing tapasya, isn't it? Dhruva Maharaj performed penances for 6 months, isn't it? Performed 6 months penances, tapasya he was performing. Similarly, Vrikasura performed penances. You remember that? Vrikasura's tapasya was, he went and sat in Banaras and he wanted to perform Mrityunjaya Homam. Please Lord Shiva. Sat there and brought a knife and started cutting pieces of flesh from the body and pouring it into the fire sacrifice. What his fire sacrifice was like that. Piece of flesh one after the other from the body. And eventually he decided to offer himself. When Lord Shiva didn't appear, he showed his head into the fire and took the knife and wanted to cut his head and drop the head so that the head dropped into the fire. This was the performance, the penance he wanted to perform. And this penance was for what? He wanted Shiva to appear in front of him. He had some questions to ask. What kind of disciple is that? If you get a disciple like this. So, this is Vrikasura. Vrikasura's story in the Bhagavadam is famous, isn't it? You know what happened after that. This we have talked about it before. So, first thing when he came with... Shiva came with Sri Parvati. And when Shiva came with Sri Parvati, first thing was that he got his body all fixed up first. or repaired the body, because body was finished. It was nothing, just a bunch of bones, and life was still there. Astigada prana nivas. Asti, only the bones were there and the life was there. Everything else is gone practically. The whole flesh is gone from the body. So he sat there and he says to Shiva, "You decided to come, have you?" This is how he is welcoming Shiva. Shiva says, "Anyway, you have performed such penances. Why did you do this?" Shiva is asking to Vrgasura. Vrgasura says that, "Why did it take such a long time? I want to know the answer. Why does it take such a long time? I have given all my body to you and you still have not..." So that is also tapasya. You can't say it's not tapasya. That's tapasya. But wrong motive, isn't it? All the time the eyes were on Sri Parvati. Gauri harana lalasa, says Bhagavadam. He was not very bothered what Shiva does or not does, that he wanted to have Sri Parvati with him. So when Shiva understood this, he decided that we have to teach this man, this new disciple, a lesson before anything and go further. So that's why that whole incident what happened. So that's also a tapasya, isn't it? Tapasya it is. Tapasya means this willingness to commit so sincerely and seriously to achieve some goal in material success, material life, or even please some demigods or something like that, to do things like this. These techniques won't work with Krishna. Krishna is not easy. It doesn't work like that because he is a bigger thief than all these ones. So that's the difficulty. So naturally when he went to Vaikuntham, there ultimately Krishna had to control him, bring him down. He went there looking. He went to Vaikuntham and he had come back here. So that is how what happened. You know that whole story. Anyway, coming back to this. So tapasya who perform in that way, tapas, better than that, Krishna says he's a yogi. Yogi is better than that. So that's how you understand that first verse. First line. Tapasubhyadigo yogi. Tapasubhyadigo yogi. Yogi is better than a tapasvi. Tapasvi. Then, then Krishna says here, in the next verse, Jnani bhyo mato adhigaha. If you read that, you will see there, Jnani bhyo bhi mato adhigaha. A yogi is better than a jnani, he says there, isn't it? Jnani bhyo. And this will contradict with another statement then, what Krishna has spoken before. Jnani bhyo mato adhigaha. Krishna says there, and earlier Krishna said, Jnani twalpeiva me matam. There is a statement in the Bhagavad Gita alone, previous verse. Krishna says, Jnani, he says, I consider him not different from me. So he is so close to me. Having said that, now Krishna is saying that in this verse, he says here, Jnani bhyo bhi matho adhikaha. So there is a contradiction you may think, isn't it? Why in two places, in two different ways? Is it that Krishna says at different times what suits him according to the circumstances? No, it is not like that. Try to understand this. That Jnani bhyo madhigo mataha. What Krishna is saying here, Jnani is not that person, when Krishna is referring here, is not that person who has mastered all the books. That's not the type of Jnani Krishna is talking about. Krishna's discussion of that Jnani is a jnani who is a pure devotee and who has completely surrendered to Krishna, who has no kartrutvam, no boktrutvam. That is the perfection of jnanam. This jnani here is referring to that jnani who has started his process but who has not surrendered to Krishna. Jnanam becomes perfect only when surrender happens to Krishna. Isn't it? Bahunam janmanamande jnanavanmam prabhadyade. Prabhati happens. Prabhati means surrender. So this jnani Krishna referring to here is that jnani who has gone to the path of jnanam, process of knowledge, that is empirical philosopher Prabhupada calls it here. But he hasn't come to the point of surrender. He has not surrendered to Krishna. He has not developed bhakti inside yet. Bhakti hasn't happened. He has developed a lot of realizations and knowledge about Krishna, but it is not. He has not come to the stage to say that what Krishna says, Bahunam Janmanamandi Jnanavan Mam Prabhadyade, that stage he has not reached. So therefore, Krishna says here, this yogi is better than that empirical philosopher who has come to the Jnanam process. All these processes I mentioned so many times before in spiritual life, it is not the process that is important. Important thing is how we have realized the truth, how close we are to the truth. Suppose we take, the goal is more important, not the process. In spiritual life, goal is important, not the process. You get to the goal somehow. Once you reach the goal, you will know that there is practically not much difference there. And all these things what we talk about, all these arguments and counter-arguments is only at the sadhana stage. When you are doing sadhana, all these disagreements will be there between jnani, yogi and bhakta, various questions. But self-realized state, that differences cannot exist in the realized state. They are seeing the truth, they are become more or less the realized truth, and there the realization is completely different. So same way here, first words Krishna says, tapasya bhadiyo yogi. Yogi is better than a tapasvi, who is performing with some material motives. Similarly, among jnanis also, there is a lot of, quacks. These jnanis are such that they'll study all the books, collect a lot of information from all sorts of places, and memorize a lot of verses, and then they will talk to others and display their knowledge, or make some disciples and things like that. They do. There are jnanis like that, who does that. That's not the jnani. Krishna says better than that is this yogi who is doing that. That's what the second line is talking about. Jnani bhyomi mato adhigaha. Then karmi bhyascha adhigo yogi. Krishna says there, better than a karmi adhigo yogi. Karmi bhyascha adhigo yogi. So karmi here, karmi bhya means that the fruity worker, a yogi is better than a fruity worker. Krishna says, yogi is better than a fruity worker. So why it's like that? Now here, important thing here, Krishna is saying here that when he says yogi, do not think that it's another class Krishna is building up. No, it's not a separate class. In the second chapter, Krishna spoke about sthira prajñatvam, isn't it? Krishna talked about in the 13th chapter, I think it is in the 14th chapter, Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam, you will see. That means the three modes of material nature. One who has gone beyond the three modes of material nature, Krishna calls him as Gunatitan. Gunatitan, one who has crossed beyond the three modes of nature. And then another place, Krishna calls him as Dvandvaditan, one who has gone beyond the dualities of this world. So, Sthita Prajñatvam, Dvandvadidan, Gunadidan. Then, in the third chapter, Krishna calls such a person as Karma Yogi, who has given up the ownership of I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, no attraction for, no attachment or aversion inside. Yeah. So, all of them, when they have become perfect, they are same. They are not different. These are all not different castes Krishna is creating. That's all one. But based on their realizations and the way they have followed through the process, they are given these different names in different chapters, but in result, practically they are all same. In another place, Krishna will call him as a devotee, bhakta. In the 12th chapter, he is referred to as... How do you know that? When you look into their qualities, you can see they are one and the same. Only the title is different. Qualities are same. Title is different. So that is the same thing here. Krishna says here, tapasya bhadiyo yogi. So sthita prajñatvam gunadi, then devotee, so knowledge of person who has the self-realized soul, yogi, or one who has concentrated the dualities of material nature, or Krishna is referring to that the same person who has perfected and realized the truth. So here, in that third line, if you see, karmi bhyascha adhigo yogi. Karmi means one who is engaged in the fruity work in this world, simply living in this world to maintain the body and the and the life in this world, doesn't want to do anything for anyone, just interested in one's own life. That is karma, isn't it? But karma yogi, in Krishna's estimation, is a very advanced person. Isn't it? Karma yogi is a very advanced person because he is performing activities in such a way that he has no identification with the I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, nor there is ragadvesham, able to execute karmam completely flowing through him without causing any disturbances inside. That is karma yogi, which does not cause any disturbances, no movement of the mind, able to execute all karmam in this world purely on the system of yoga. And that cannot be brought down to a lower level. So, jnana yogam, karma yogam, bhakti, saranda, sharanagati, Krishna calls all of that as symptoms of a yogi. It is in that sense the word yogi is used here. Whereas normally, the tendency, if you say, oh, somebody is a yogi, you may think, oh, he must have practiced yoga practices, all asanas, yamam, neyamam, asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam, dharana, dhyanam, samadhi, ashtanga yogam will come into our mind, isn't it? Normally, if you say somebody is a yogi, generally if you say someone is a yogi, what will be the immediate reaction? Immediate reaction will be that, oh, he's an ashtanga yogi. In other words, he follows the Patanjali's yoga darshanam. So, is Krishna is saying that Patanjali is that yogi is superior? No. No, it's not. Krishna is concerned, there's only these three processes. Jnanam, karmam, bhakti. It is there in the Bhagavad Gita, it is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And all these three processes, they are all connected with each other. And a great devotee is a great jnani as well. A great jnani is a great devotee as well. And whatever activities they perform will be karma yoga. So they are not separate. That's all in one unit, you know, all together. And if you see a devotee executing spiritual life, if you observe jnanam, knowledge in him, and if you see his karmam in him, you will see it will be a karma yogi as well as a jnani in him. Maybe to a smaller degree compared to his bhakti, but it has to be there. It has to be there. It cannot be taken out of him. It is in that connection Krishna is talking about it here in this way. So, if it is not like that, if what we talked about it, if it's not like that, earlier chapter, in third chapter, Krishna glorifies karma yogi to the maximum. Fourth chapter, Krishna is glorifying jnani yogi to the maximum. And later on, 12th chapter, Krishna is going to glorify the bhakti yogi to the maximum. Isn't it? All that will become meaningless if it's not like this. That's why we have to understand Bhagavad Gita. When we study, you should make that understanding that what is Krishna saying here. And that is the way, if you read other commentaries also, you will see this. A devotee will see bhakti as the highest. Jnani will see jnanam as the highest. But this higher, lower and all that is purely on an intellectual platform, not on a spiritual platform. People always argue that, oh, he's a great devotee. He's not bothered about jnanam. This doesn't matter. Or he's a great jnani. He is not interested in bhakti. That's meaningless statement. Why? Because these things are all on intellectual level. On intellectual level you can argue all that. But on the state of self-realization, when realization happens, a jnani is a great devotee. And a devotee is a great jnani at that time. And all their activities in this world will be purely karma yoga. When you understand this, if you go into Ekadasha Skandam, you will see there, Krishna saying this to Uddhava later on. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, I have given these three processes in this world. And according to one's frame of mind, one who is very renounced and detached from this world, for him, Jnana Yogam will suit. He says, he will take to the path of Jnanam. It's all Purva Vasana inside. It goes to him like that. One who is very attached to work, for him, Karma Yogam will be the solution to him. And one who is neither attached nor renounced, for him the process of bhakti. This key comes, jnanisinamiha karmasu, isn't it? He says there. In the Ekadasha Skandam, we'll come to that later when we discuss that part. So, jnanam, karmam, bhakti, all Krishna discusses in the Bhagavad Gita, and you will see that they refer to here. So, therefore, Krishna says to Arjuna,
Arjuna, therefore become a yogi. Therefore become a yogi. That yogi, what Krishna is referring to, is that yogi is a devotee, pure devotee, and perfect jnani, and perfect karma yogi in all aspects. Otherwise, his devotion also will have no meaning. You can't be a fruity worker and a pure devotee. Isn't it? That's not possible. And similarly, you can't be a pure devotee and no knowledge of the soul, no self-realization of the self. So pure devotees means a blend of all these three things, jnanam, karmam, bhakti, everything to its perfection. And that's why Krishna says there, yogam is a state of mind. Yogam is a state of mind. Why Krishna says later, isn't it? Samatvam yogam uchyate. The state of mind is such that samatvam yogam uchyate. That is the tasmad yogi bhavarjuna, he says. So, among those yogis, who is the best? That is the answer in the next verse. Yoginam api sarvesham madgadenandaratmanam shraddhavan bhajade yomam same yuktatamo mataham yoginam api sarvesham madgadenandaratmanam shraddhavan bhajade yomam same yuktatamo mata. It's a famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. This verse is so important. It takes a long time to discuss this verse. So what I thought, when we start the... Actually this verse doesn't belong to this chapter, it belongs to next chapter. Because next chapter is centered around this verse. Krishna is slowly taking us to the next chapter. It's sort of an introduction to the seventh chapter. This chapter is an introduction to the seventh chapter. Bhagavad Gita, you will see it's a continuous flow of one verse to another. And there is a link from one verse to another. And if you don't take that link seriously, you will... Nowadays people are studying Bhagavad Gita in a different way. They pick up some important verses, what they got attracted to, or they found that attraction to that, they will take those verses and start telling everybody else, this is what Krishna is saying. No, that's not good, because then you will miss the point. What Krishna, you'll have to, you can't take select verses from Bhagavad Gita and say that this is what Krishna is saying. When you start saying like that, you'll find it difficult to justify your statements many times. Contradictions will come. That is, to avoid that, we have to accept everything what Krishna says in total. But we have to understand what that relationship is between one verse to another. So in this particular verse, yoginam abhi sarvesham madgadhen andar atmana shraddhavan labhade jnanam same yukta tamo mataha. So yoginam abhi sarvesham madgadhen andar atmana shraddhavan bhajade yomam same yukta tamo mataha. Krishna says, and of all yogis, he who always abides in me, with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and the highest of all. And the highest of all. This is just a translation of that verse. But the depth of that verse, if you want to know, you have to read loads of commentaries on that. How important that verse is. Because it is through this verse, Krishna is revealing something very important in the seventh chapter, which is the what is known as the knowledge of the absolute, jnana vijnana yogam. So when jnanam comes, when vijnanam comes, at what stage? You also have to remember the first six chapters we have completed now, isn't it? And this sixth chapter was jnana yogam. Now, the first six chapters is referred to as karmam. Karmam is what is stressed. Basically, it is referring to all the karmam. First six chapters. Prabhupada also mentions that, isn't it? First six chapters refers to karmam.
then the next six chapters refers to bhakti, and the last six chapters refers to jnanam. So that is a general division like that, to tell us that there is a... Only thing is, it's stress is given on karma in the first six chapters. Stress is given on bhakti in the next six chapters. And stress is given on jnanam in the last six chapters. So, therefore it is the 18 chapters, six each. Now, here we are coming to the end of sixth chapter. So if you ask practically what was that important point Krishna had to present it to us in these six chapters, the main thing that you will notice if you study it carefully is, although Krishna began with the absolute knowledge of Sanghyam, straight away he switched to karma. Karma is the thing. If you don't get that right, we can forget the other 12 chapters after that. So these six chapters are so important. The first six chapters are so important. And while discussing that six chapters, why did Dhyana Yoga come there? The reason for that is, if you remember, if you have reflected on it, you will know it why. Because Krishna said, if you perform Karma Yoga properly, you will get that purification. Naturally, dhyanam or meditation will capture you instead of you going into dhyanam process. Why did we have to discuss this in the Bhagavad Gita? Because in the Bhagavadam, when we discussed Ekadasha Skandam, we knew that Krishna started talking to Uddhava, isn't it, about dhyana yoga process. That's where we started this sixth chapter, if you remember. That we started discussing this sixth chapter when Krishna started discussing dhyanam process with Uddhava. So at that time I mentioned also that dhyanam process, what you see in the Bhagavadam, is on a very advanced state it is spoken. Prior to that, many other things have to be understood. What happens with the dhyanam? When this dhyanam happens to someone? In that Dhyana Yogam, in the Bhagavadam, which we will be coming to later, Krishna talks to Uddhava, a person who has reached that state, how he practices Dhyana Yogam. That's what you find in the Ekadasha Skandam, in the Bhagavadam. But prior to that, if you understand these six chapters properly, you can see here that preparing oneself to that Dhyanam or meditation process, or meditation process means, Dhyanam has to take over. You can't do Dhyanam of your own. That is not possible. Krishna knows that very well. To sit down, now, as I mentioned before so many times, that Dhyanam courses are going on now, isn't it? Meditation courses. So many institutions are performing that. Whole day you are working in an office or a factory or somewhere, and 10, 12 hours, and then in the evening you have booked and paid for 10 or 12 classes for Dhyanam. And you go and sit there in that meditation room, they give you a proper mat to sit, and the lights are switched off so that you don't get disturbed, from mobile phone switched off, everything switched off. And they're telling you to perform dhyanam. But you can't perform dhyanam. Why? Because whole day there was chittavritti inside with various thoughts related to office, business, and other associated issues at home, family life. Everything will come up in the dhyanam. It won't go. That's what you will be doing your dhyanam. Or if that doesn't happen, you will fall asleep. Either of these two. It cannot be anything. Dhyanam won't happen. Either of these things will happen. Either the mind will get caught up at home, office, work, or something like that, related to the material life in this world. Or You'll say, it's enough. At least let me sleep 1 hour without any trouble. So therefore, that is why this is to be understood in that way. That's why this dhyanam, people think it's an easy thing. It is not an easy thing. It happens like this, Krishna says. When you execute karma yoga properly in this world, chitta shuddhi comes, first thing. When chitta shuddhi happens, that person is ready for that. These are all qualities associated with a person's spiritual life. And this is exactly what I am saying, that with the advancement of science and technology in all other fields, we have made advancement. But only here, there is no yogi coming out anywhere. Okay, we'll put a t-shirt saying I'm a yogi at the back. Oh, I lost my heart in Vrindavan. That's all nice. This is what is the modern yoga is. All show, nothing but show. Nothing but show. And people are also happy. They are satisfied with. This is all what they want and that's what they get. Isn't it? So this is how spiritual life is today. Isn't it? Everything is external. Completely external. And that's why for them when they read Bhagavad Gita, all this is some unknown subject. It makes a connection with the topic what is discussed there. What Krishna is saying there. Krishna is saying to us, the whole thing is so internal activity that there is so much to be done inside before we are talking about yoga. And that is why he said everywhere you will see Krishna never talks about external things, anything. As far as your dress is concerned, as far as your caste is concerned, as far as your religion is concerned, that's not important. What's important as far as Krishna is concerned? Amani, amalsaro, datsho, nirmama, drida sauhrada, asatvaro, artajinyasu, anasuya, amoghavak. The qualities of a person who comes to spiritual life. This is what he is looking for. And when he doesn't find that, he also gets frustrated with us. He says, this lot, nothing can be done with them. This is just so external that can't find anything interesting in spiritual life. And that's what this is all about. So these six chapters from Arjuna Vishada Yogam we started, came to this Sanghyam in the second chapter, into the third chapter, Karma Yogam, Karma Sannyasam, Jnana Sannyasam, and now Dhyana Yogam. All these six chapters which we have gone through is all in one unit. Remember that. It's all in one unit. They're all connected to each other. We have discussed these six chapters so far, but to understand that these six chapters have a very close relationship in purifying us, in other words. And if all, that is why this Dhyana Yoga was put in the sixth chapter. Why? If all the other five chapters, if you have followed it through properly, you will have Dhyanam without any effort. Without any effort, Dhyanam must happen. That's the point Krishna is making. Must happen. Why? By now, sufficient purification has happened inside, and therefore, you are bound to this Dhyana Yogam will capture you instead of you going and registering for a Dhyana Yogam class. That will happen. And the example of that is all these great devotees like gopis. Perfect example. And this is what has happened to them also. So you will see there, that is why I was reading the other day also, that in the purport, Prabhupada mentions there, isn't it? In that last verse purport, in the third paragraph, Prabhupada says there, that from the beginning of Karma Yogam to the end of Bhakti Yogam is a long way to self-realization. It's a long way to self-realization. Karma Yogam without fruity results is the beginning of this path. In the Bhagavad Gita, you can see there, page 359, the last verse 47, and the purport. In the purport you will see, the one paragraph begins with the culmination of all kinds of yoga practice lies in Bhakti Yogam. All other yogas are but by means to come to the point of Bhakti in Bhakti Yogam. Yoga actually means Bhakti Yogam. But all other yogas are progressions towards the destination of Bhakti Yogam. From the beginning of Karma Yogam to the end of Bhakti Yogam is a long way to self-realization. Karma Yogam without fruitive results is the beginning of this path. Is the beginning of this path. When Karma Yogam increases in knowledge and renunciation, the stage is called Jnana Yogam. That means, when Karma Yogam is executed properly, when there is sufficient Chitta Shuddhi, purification of one's own existence, when that happens, he becomes qualified to receive the knowledge of the soul. Only then it will click inside. Till that time, whatever you may tell him about the soul, he will say, yes, 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 but scientists are telling like this. Which one, how do I know which one is correct? He will ask this question. Why? Because inside there is no purification. Karma Shuddhi hasn't happened to him. Karma Shuddhi is such an important thing that when the purification happens, that knowledge will naturally hit him. His knowledge of the soul will naturally hit him. That's what it says here. That when Karma Yoga increases in knowledge and renunciation, the stage is called Jnana Yoga. When Jnana Yoga increases in meditation on the super soul by different physical processes and the mind is on him, it is called Ashtanga Yoga. And when surpasses, normally Ashtanga Yoga is considered often as a part of Jnana, Jnana Yoga process. Many Jnanis also have perfection of Ashtanga Yoga. Many of them. If you look into their life, you will see many of them are Jnanis as well as Ashtanga Yogis as well. That is just go together. Patanjali's Yoga Sutram and Vedavyasa Maharshi's Brahma Sutram, they have a close link in that way. So, and when one surpasses the Ashtanga Yoga and comes to the point of Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, it is called Bhakti Yoga, the culmination. Factually, Bhakti Yoga is the ultimate goal. Now, this does not mean that all these things will happen at the very end. That means we haven't even stepped into Karma Yoga. So where is the question of Bhakti Yoga? That may come. That question will come, isn't it? That's why I was saying that Bhakti Yoga, Jnanam, Karmam, they all go together in a person's life also. And sometimes he is a Karma Yogi. Sometimes he is a Jnana Yogi. Sometimes he is a Bhakta. He is a devotee. So they are all together in a person, it will be there in his spiritual life. At some point, something will come up strongly in him. So based on that, he is a devotee, he is a jnani, he is a karma yogi. People address him in that way. They'll address him in that way. That's all it is. So yogi who is progressive is therefore on the true path of eternal good fortune. So Prabhupada is completed. You can read that purport later when you have time. And you can see there, Krishna Prabhupada also says later on that the stage of highest perfection, that is at the very end, he says here, can be attained only by Bhakti Yogam as is confirmed in the Vedic literature. Yasya Deve Parabhaktir Yadha Deve Tadha Guru Tasya Iva Hridaye Hartha Prakashande Mahatmana. So, now, when you read that verse, misunderstanding comes, isn't it? Krishna says here, it's an Upanishad statement. It is from the Upanishads. That statement has come from Upanishads. Now, Upanishads are saying, Yasya Deve Parabhaktir Yadha Deve Tadha Guru Tasseva Kadide Hyartha Prakashande Mahatmana. Now, normally, our mind will go in this way. That means, every day I will do my arati for the Guru and arati for Krishna. I've done both. So, I've done my part now. That is not what that means. What it's saying to us is that, you know, arati is only a part of the process. The bhakti inside for the spiritual master and to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yasya Deve Parabhakti. Yasya Deve Parabhakti Yadha Deve Tadha Guru. Isn't it? Parabhakti Yadha Deve Tadha Guru. Equally towards the spiritual master as he has saved you from this world, from material existence. He has taken you out from this material world. That gratitude continuously flowing towards the spiritual master. For that gratitude, for what he has done to you. He has come and taken you out from material life. That is your gratitude towards him. And seeing him as the embodiment of Krishna's presence in this world. As the spiritual master. So that's why, Yasya Deve Parabhakti Yadha Deve Tadha Guru. To such a person, that means for him, Krishna is everything and spiritual master is everything. For him, spiritual master is everything. Because he is seeing Krishna through the spiritual master. He hasn't met Krishna yet. So he is seeing, this disciple is seeing the spiritual master as Krishna's embodiment. In that way, he has to see the spiritual master. He has to see him in that way, as the embodiment of Krishna's presence in this world. So, tasyaiva hadide harta prakashande mahatmana. A person who has that frame of mind, Krishna is saying, all the knowledge will be revealed to him without delay. Without tasyaiva hadide harta prakashande mahatmana, he says. Tasyaiva kadida hyarte prakashande mahatmana. He says, great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed to him. So these two things, Krishna and the spiritual master, they have the greatest role. It is through them everything happens. Through their mercy. Through their mercy. A self-realized soul and a disciple who has these qualities, what Krishna has, what they spoke about before. If such a disciple approaches a realized soul as a spiritual master, who is completely absorbed in the self-realization and realized the truth, if he follows that route, it must work. That is what Krishna is saying. That is that Upanishad statement is about. So, yasya deve parabhaktir yadha deve tadha guru tasya eva kadida hyartha artha prakashande mahalmana. So, there we finish this sixth chapter. Finish this sixth chapter. We have to now go back to where we left in the canto 11. Isn't it? Where we left in the canto 11. So, because we were away from canto 11 for so long now, a lot of things as they say, a lot of water has flown under the bridge since then. So, we got to come back to that again. And I think we will do that next Sunday. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.